Welcome to Cyber Monday. My name is Christian Redshaw, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Dominic Vogel. Dominic, who is in the hot seat today?
Today we have Kimberly St. Pierre, a very well-respected cybersecurity professional in the Greater Vancouver region, and an area which, you know, she just knows the area just so well. You know, she's been in the industry for a lot of years, and I'm really looking forward to chatting with her specifically around that whole notion of what organizations, what business leaders can do when they're talking about cybersecurity. I know a concept she's mentioned before is that whole notion of self-reflection, being able to understand as an organization, you know, what are the risks that they face, what are some different areas or controls that they can sort of roll out and deploy, but going through that as a whole journey rather than just saying, yes, you know, yes, we're secure. So I think that self-reflection piece, I'm really looking to chatting with her about that.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree. I know Kimberly is such a fantastic communicator and so smart as well.
Yeah.
But yet, because of her technical knowledge and her business experience, she's able to speak to a business audience and just give really good education and practical advice to navigate cybersecurity and to navigate the vendor landscape. And there's over 1,000 vendors and more being added every day. So it's kind of a crazy world, and she is going to be our guide today. So
yes, she is.
I'm super looking forward to that. So I'm going to jump into this chair. We're going to invite Kimberly in, and we'll be right back.
Kim, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. And, you know, the cybersecurity landscape is just completely crazy, completely bonkers. If you look back to the early 90s or mid 90s, it was easy to identify what the sort of the security vendors were. Fast forward to today, and it's just such a crowded landscape, even for people who deal with it on a daily basis. What's your advice for people who are trying to figure out what cybersecurity, either partners to leverage or vendors or even capabilities? Where does someone who's non-technical start? I know it's a loaded question.
It is. When you think of the cybersecurity landscape today, there's over 1,000 vendors globally, and more are going to keep popping up, and there's still going to be a lot more that are funded. When you think of the global cybersecurity risks, you just look at the World Economic Forum, and they've ranked it in the top five. So it's not going away. It's going to continue to evolve. Organizations are going to continue to invest, and new technologies are going to come out as the hackers come up with new techniques. We need to respond. So it is tough. It is a challenge. I think working with professional services partners, most organizations don't have a lot of in-house IT or security staff, so they often rely on partners or contractors to help them navigate that landscape. My advice would be to leverage those partners. They're there for a reason. They're not there to make your life difficult. They're typically there to help you. So really understanding what they can bring to the table from a guidance perspective. But also, when you're looking at vendors, it's going to be very complex and difficult to manage an environment where you have, you know, 20 plus technologies in your environment. And that's honestly the reality when we talk to customers every day and you start understanding what their cybersecurity posture looks like and what they have in their environment. They often have a number of different vendors that are point solutions that do one thing.
Right.
So if you're trying to navigate that landscape, looking for technology partners that have the ability to cover more of those challenges and that have the ability to integrate the technologies with your existing technologies. The idea is not to lift and shift, but to work within the world that's already there.
Right.
So those would be two of the first pieces of advice. The other thing, when you think of the old adage of defense in depth, very good thing, still a very good thing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you have a different security product or tool for different problems. The idea is to defend at different layers of your organization and your infrastructure, your data, but also be able to reduce the number of technologies that you're having to deal with, bring more simplicity, drive the complexity out. Complexity is not a good thing. The hackers like complexity because that's where they find the most holes.
They found the holes.
Yeah.
For that's fantastic insight. And maybe just one more thread to pull on that. You know, for our business leaders who are listening and watching, a lot of them will say, Cybersecurity, well, we have antivirus. We're good. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of, old thinking from, let's say, the late 90s of when cybersecurity was a very different problem. Mm-hmm. How do we have that discussion with people in business to say, you know what, antivirus is just but one thing? Mm-hmm. How do you push that that agenda forward to say, you know, cybersecurity has changed from the late 90s? Because these are often the same people who will say, you know, we're not worried about the African prince scheme. We know how to identify that. Yeah. Right, so a lot of people seem to be stuck in the past. How do we move past that?
I think by having frank and candid conversations with them about stories where we've seen instances have happen, pardon me, with other organizations or other customers, and also to help educate them in business terms rather than the technical jargon that they're going to think that makes no sense to them. Talking about how the landscape has changed, how the attack the techniques have changed. The threat landscape has obviously changed as well, and they may have vulnerabilities in their organization that they traditionally wouldn't have known.
Right.
So I think the education part is there, which from a cybersecurity vendor perspective, there's a lot more education that goes into it than selling.
Yeah,
very true.
Can you think of any stories of maybe, let's say, past clients, or let's not go there, just companies that are doing security poorly or are still stuck in the 90s,
yes,
you know, 20 years on.
Yes. I'll give you an example first of a bad example and then talk about a good example, obviously not naming names.
No. We're not ashaming.
So. So I think that a bad example is when... And honestly, it's sad when you think of some of the mid-market businesses that may have one IT person, guy or gal, and security just happens to fall in their realm of responsibility, and they're doing that off the side of their desk.
Because they're not busy enough.
They have loads of time. Yeah. Add more. So I think from an executive standpoint of not understanding that they need to buy into their risk mitigation plan, which does include cybersecurity, having a general understanding of what their risks are is important. Putting their head in the sand is not going to make things easier. And also leveraging skill sets. And again, if they don't have that in-house, which is very common, they won't have that in-house, is find a partner that does. Recognize there's going to be investment that's required into that partner, whether it's professional services, consulting, managed services, what have you. And really not just saying that's not my area, someone else does that, is the first and foremost thing they need to recognize. So some, like a bad example is where they've not given enough time and attention to that, and they do get owned, they get breached. And some of them are very lucky where they'll find ransomware in their environment and it doesn't bring them to their knees. But when you think of some mid-market clients and maybe small business even, they'll close the doors.
Yeah. Right.
They cannot survive a breach. And that piece of understanding of what would that impact to their business be, their livelihood, their employees, their customers, their brand in general, that's what they need to consider. So then you think of a good example on the flip side where they've actually taken an ownership role in understanding not necessarily the technical jargon, but from a business perspective, what does that cyber risk mean? I love when I have customers phone me and say, hey, I just saw something in the news. What do you think of it?
Yeah.
And that's a great place to start, is to reach out to their vendors. And back to the conversation earlier about being 1,000+ vendors, that could mean a lot of conversations. So really finding whether it's a professional services firm or a reseller partner that you trust and leveraging them. So once you've decided that, yes, you have the buy-in, it's your responsibility, then making sure that you're listening to your team and understanding how legit is that risk, and can we, it's all about risk management, right? Some you're going to accept, some you're going to try to avoid, some you'll mitigate. Mm-hmm. But the end of the day, if you're not understanding what the current state looks like, you're going to be challenged. So those organizations that have invested into employees or partners, that's where they're going to excel. The sad thing is once they do a good job of cybersecurity, and they may have an individual or two that are their experts and that have that special ability to translate technical into business,
yep,
they're often recruited.
Yeah. So, bit of a cyclical problem there, in which sort of you have that ebb and flow. And I mean, you mentioned a really interesting point about having a need for viewing vendors as being a trusted partner, mm-hmm. Almost using that as a quality to sort of identify which type of vendor to work with. If we maybe go down another layer, what are some questions or qualities that business leaders should be using to gauge potential partnerships with security vendors? Is it a level of transparency that they'd like to see? Is it not sort of the wheel and deal type yeah. Partner? What are just some maybe one or two type of qualities that some business leaders can be looking for?
I'd say first and foremost is the ability to integrate with our existing environment.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, then you're just adding one more tool that requires more training and skill sets
more
for
complexity.
Your existing team, more complexity. The second thing would be if that partner can provide you client references where they can actually speak to other clients that have worked with them. The third would be what is that partner's approach or the vendor's approach on the customer life cycle, like that customer journey, not just we buy today, are you around in 6 months, but we buy today, where are we together as partners in 3 years and what does that look like? So those are some critical things that they'd need to understand. And from a business leader perspective, just because a vendor tells you that, vet it. Ask your peers in the industry, ask your professional services partner, vendor X told me this. What are your thoughts? What are your feelings? Because they're the ones that have had more experience. Yeah.
And then when we're boiling that down further in terms of sort of security capabilities and mm-hmm. For an organization, and especially with mid-sized and small businesses, they obviously don't have the budget that an enterprise would have when being able to devote to security or the internal resources, staffing. What are some core areas that they should be focusing on in terms of risk reduction? Just as an example, some businesses will just say, hey, you know what? We'll be caught up in all this flashy stuff, and maybe they'll splurge on some fancy intrusion prevention system, which, yeah, may be great functionality, but they don't have some of the other basics in place, so it loses its effectiveness. Mm-hmm. For an organization, let's say they've never really evaluated their security posture, what are some two or three security capabilities from like a foundational building block perspective, which may be mapped back to a certain technology, mm-hmm. which they can at least start at and build out from?
Yeah. So I think the first thing is it actually doesn't start with technology. You actually should have a great understanding of what does your current security posture look like, and how do you stack up against peers of like-size organizations. Once you have that understanding, you've got a gap assessment that's going to identify whether it's people, process, technology, you need to fix these areas. And then often the technology piece comes in sort of midway or after that. The capabilities from a technology standpoint, the first one in my mind is visibility. So where's your data? Who's accessing it? Where's it being stored? Is it in Canada? We know in BC we have very special privacy legislation. So, how is that impacted? The other thing is to have those policies in place to see, when you're thinking of vulnerabilities, it's not just a vulnerability in a technology component in your environment. You could have an employee that's incredibly vulnerable because they don't have the right training. Maybe they're brand new or they forget and they click something they shouldn't. So visibility, I'd say, is number one. Control of your data, and not just, okay, it's January 1st, we know where our data is, we know who's accessing it. Real-time compliance and control of your data and who's accessing it, and if your environment changes, especially with adoption of cloud.
Yeah.
So all you have to do is look in the news every couple of days and there's another, misconfigured cloud environment that's resulted in a breach. Well, wouldn't that be great if you had control over that not happening in the first place? The other piece too is cybersecurity and security teams are often seen as the department of no. So having that really strong relationship throughout the organization to make sure that security is in the DNA right from the start, and that everything that they're doing, that's included. So from that control piece of making sure that they understand where they're at. And then the final piece is integration. So again, back to they're going to have something today. Maybe they don't have enough from a technology standpoint, but whatever they're going to be buying should ideally be able to integrate within their environment or know that they're investing in a platform that is going to give them that over time. So I'd say those are the three things.
That's really interesting.
It's interesting, you coming from the vendor space, it sounds like you're an advocate of doing security properly, which is to assess the risks, get the processes in place, make sure that your people are being trained properly, then implementing the solution, prescribing and implementing the solution. Mm-hmm. I think a red flag is when you see vendors kind of prowling around with a sales pitch, trying to, you know, get in the door and say, how can I find a place for my solution in your company? And kind of saying, okay, we do cybersecurity because we do network security. We have this solution.
Yeah.
When really it is a limited scope. Yeah. Have you seen a lot of that around
yes.
in your years of experience?
Yes. I think you have to meet the customer where they are. The idea of selling them something that they don't need just to meet your quota is right. old school.
Yeah.
The clients are very much looking for a consultative sales approach, and that's not just from the vendor side, but also from professional services consulting teams that they work with. So if you're not understanding where they are, what's important to them, and there's obviously a lot of things that are sort of intricacies specific to certain industries. So whether it's retail, healthcare, manufacturing, what have you, that's where you need to start. Then establishing that level of trust and understanding, demonstrating that you know where they're at, and then you can start to talk about, okay, long term, where do you want to be? Where are your current gaps in your opinion as the customer? And then here's where we think that we can help you.
Hmm. Now, switching gears for a minute, what do you think is a business leader's role? The person who is ultimately responsible for oversight of cybersecurity, whether it's the CEO or the C-suite or the board.
Okay.
How can they set the tone for cybersecurity in an organization?
So I'll use, say, a mid-sized client as an example where they do have a board of directors.
Yeah. Right.
If you as a board do not have cybersecurity expertise on your board or access to team members outside your board as consultants or advisors, mm-hmm. you need to change that very quickly. You need to understand when you think of cyber risk, again, one of the top risks in the world, you need to be recognizing that that is potentially a problem for your business. So as a business owner, recognizing A, that it is a risk, and understanding what should your role be. Typically, they're not going to be the individuals that are going to understand. We talked about the jargon earlier.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be. Yeah. But they need to have somebody within their organization that they can trust that, you know, it's not just their IT person saying, it's covered, don't worry about it, we're good. They should be able to articulate those technical terms into business terms and business outcomes, and having them understand, you know, we've invested in this process or this technology or this methodology, and we feel that is going to impact the business in the following ways. And ultimately, that needs to be driving back up to those strategic objectives.
Right, and be measured against those.
Bingo, which is very hard.
Yes.
That's one of the hardest things to do, because a lot of people consider cybersecurity investment insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you can invest, you know, millions of dollars in technology, and if you haven't trained your staff properly, they accidentally click on a link. Well.
So that's a perfect example of what's missing when someone says our IT department or IT managed service provider looks mm-hmm. after cybersecurity,
yeah.
is that people training component. As one example.
One example. It's right. a perfect
yeah.
example.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think we're seeing a mind shift of sorts in, especially in the small and mid-sized business space, where, like both of you have alluded to, that there had been that prevailing thought of cyber risk is something which is an IT issue or a technical issue. Mm-hmm. Ergo, you know, the business doesn't, they wash their hands of it. The IT or the IT MSP deals with that. And, you know, we're seeing tides of change there. Like you're saying there, that business owners and people in leadership positions are saying, we need to ask the right questions. We need to be able to provide that oversight and governance. Other than what we've discussed so far, are there any other sort of maybe mindsets or ways to sort of keep changing or shifting that ship in the way in which it's going from this being an IT risk to this being a business risk?
Absolutely. A lot of, again, what we were talking about earlier, a lot of what I do in a vendor role
yeah.
is education. So
yes.
when you talk to clients to understand what their current state is, do they really understand that? You know, where do they rank against their peers? What is that gap? And then what's their plan to address that gap? So having some of those tough conversations and them doing a lot of self-reflection on, you know, give them an example of a specific breach and say, okay, so if that happened to you, how would that impact impact your business? Could you recover? And you think of things as simple as ransomware, where, you know, are they going to pay the ransom to get their data back? Well, if you had it backed up, you don't need to pay the ransom. So simple. Not as simple as we think it is, it should be. The second is, you know, what happens to their business brand and their customers? So if you're suddenly in the news, who does that mean the most to? So when you want to talk to a business leader of, do you care about cyber risk? Ask them. If you're breached and suddenly you're on the front page of the Globe and Mail tomorrow, whose job is at risk?
That's right.
And yet I find that the small, medium-sized businesses that have these attacks are not on the news, mm-hmm. but yet there's a lot that goes undetected. There's a huge, huge demographic.
Yeah. Unreported. And I think that's, yeah, I think that's still that strange paradox. And again, back to that shift we're seeing in which a lot of those small, mid-sized businesses say, we're not large companies, we don't have to worry about it. But like I said, from a paradox perspective, they're actually the ones at greatest risk, even mm-hmm. if they're not hitting the front page news. So like you're saying, that it's really interesting that this is an ongoing education quest to get the broader SMB community a little more aware in terms of what today's cyber risk landscape looks like compared to the mid-90s.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because they often say, oh, well, we're a manufacturing company, we're not really a target.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
The type of company you are doesn't matter. If you have a specific vulnerability that a certain type of malware, as an example, is designed to target, they don't care if you're manufacturing. They don't care if you're retail.
Cyber criminals don't think necessarily like business leaders in general.
That's a good point. So if we can help customers and business leaders understand what motivates cyber criminals yes. and the types of cyber criminals, when they think hackers, they always, not always, lots of them think a hoodie in a basement. And you think of, you know, these people could be hired to create a specific code.
Yeah.
And they may think they're hired by a legit company when they've actually created something malicious.
Yeah.
And they don't know that. And they go home and they think, I've done a great job today.
It's a crazy world. And I think we're going to do some material on that.
Yeah.
Just to really draw that out and let them see how organized cybercrime looks and,
no,
and who's involved.
Exactly. No, and that's the really interesting piece is that like we mentioned there, that education piece. I think the more informed business leaders are, they can lead to better and more informed business decisions. Because right now, I would say the security decisions are less than optimal for many organizations. So this segment literally just flew by. So we really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day to chat with us. You absolutely crushed it. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks,
awesome.
Guys.
Another fantastic conversation. She delivered as promised.
Yes, that was an epic convo. You know, Kim is able, like you said at the beginning, you know, Kim is able to just cover so much ground. She's so knowledgeable. She's just an awesome, awesome communicator. I really loved the bit when we were talking about cybersecurity being an IT issue, you know, how much that is a myth and sort of the steps that we need to take to inform business leaders that it's not just an IT issue. It is a prevalent business problem that needs to be solved. And I think Kim did an absolutely awesome job breaking that down.
Yeah, no, I think no surprise to me, but she did such a good job of drawing out what was my number one takeaway is that, okay, business leaders think, okay, I'm a small business, I'm a medium-sized business, I'm in this industry, I'm in that industry, so I'm not a target.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity or cyber criminals do not care what industry you're in or how big you are. What they care about is the vulnerabilities that you have and the value of the data that you have.
Totally.
So that's the point.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching. If you want to watch our other podcasts, you can go to conversationsthatmatter.tv, and we will see you next Monday.